Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
The following is a Srimad Bhagavatam class, second canto, sixth chapter, text 22, by His Holiness Ramapada Swami Maharaj in St. Louis, Missouri, June 1st, 2008.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text 22. From Chapter 6, Purusha Sukta confirmed. Yasmat antam virad yagye.
Yasmat antam virad yagye.
Bhutendriya gunatmakaha.
Bhutendriya gunatmakaha.
Tadravyam atyagad vishvam.
Tadravyam atyagad vishvam.
Bhobhi surya ivatapan.
Bhobhi surya ivatapan.
Yasmad andham virad yajye.
Yasmad andham virad
yajye. Bhutendriya gunatmakaha.
Bhutendriya gunatmakaha.
Hadravyam atyagad vishvam.
Hadravyam atyagad vishvam.
Bhobhi surya ivatapan.
Bhobhi surya ivatapan.
Yasmat.
Yasmat.
From whom?
From whom?
Andam.
Andam.
The universal globes.
Virat.
And the gigantic universal form.
And the gigantic universal form.
Jagye.
Appeared.
Bhuta.
Bhuta.
Elements.
Indriya.
Senses.
Guna
atmakaha.
Qualitative.
Tat dravyam.
The universes and the universal form, etc.
Atyagat.
Atyagat.
Surpassed.
Surpassed.
Vishvam.
Vishvam.
All the universes.
All the universes.
Gobihi.
Gobihi.
By the rays.
By the rays.
Suryaha.
Suryaha.
The sun.
The sun.
Iva.
Iva.
Like.
Like.
Atapan.
Atapan.
Distributed rays and heat. Translation: from that supreme, from that personality of Godhead, all the universal globes and the universal form with its, with all material elements, qualities, and senses are generated. Yet, he is aloof from such material manifestations like the sun, which is separate from its rays and heat. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Hope you're ready for some philosophy, because that's what's coming. We like kirtan, and sometimes we like philosophy. We always like kirtan. This is the philosophy this morning. The supreme truth has been ascertained in the previous verse as Purusha, or the Purushottama, the supreme person. The absolute person is the Ishwara, or the supreme controller, by his different energies. The Ekapad Vibhuti manifestation of the material energy of the Lord is just like one of the many mistresses of the Lord, by whom the Lord is not so much attracted, as indicated in the language of the Bhagavad Gita, Bina Prakatihi. But the region of the Tripad Vibhuti, being a pure spiritual manifestation of the energy of the Lord, is, so to speak, more attractive to him. The Lord, therefore, generates the material manifestations by impregnating the material energy, and then within the manifestation, he expands himself as the gigantic form of the Vishvarup, the Vishvarup, as it was shown to Arjuna, is not the original form of the Lord. The original form of the Lord is the transcendental form of Purushottama, or Krishna himself. It is very nicely explained herein that he expands himself just like the sun. The sun expands itself by its terrible heat and ray, heat and rays, and yet the sun is always aloof from such rays and heat. The impersonalist takes into consideration the rays of the Lord. Without any information of the tangible, transcendental, eternal form of the Lord known as Krishna. Therefore, Krishna, in his supreme personal form with two hands and flute, is bewildering for the impersonalists who can accommodate only the gigantic Vishvarupa of the Lord. They should know that the rays of the sun are secondary to the sun, and similarly, the impersonal gigantic form of the Lord is also secondary to the personal form as Purushottama. The Brahma Samhita 5.37 confirms this statement as follows. Anandaya chimayarasa pratipavitabhis tabirya eva nijarupataya kalabihi goloka eva nivisatya kilatma bhuto govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajamin. Translated, the Supreme Personality Godhead Govinda, the one who enlivens the senses of everyone by his personal bodily rays, resides in his transcendental abode called Goloka, yet he is present in every nook and corner of his creation by expansion of happy spiritual rays, equal in power to his personal potency of bliss. Unquote. Very different translation than the one that's in Brahma Samhita. He is therefore simultaneously personal and impersonal by his inconceivable potency, or he is the one without a second, displaying complete unity in a diversity of material and spiritual manifestations. Last sentence, he is separate from everything and still nothing is different from him. End of purport. Yasmad andham virad yagye bhutendriya gunatmakaha tadravyam atyagad vishvam gobhi surya ivatapan. From that personality of Godhead, all the universal globes and the universal form with all material elements, qualities, and senses are generated, yet he is aloof from such material manifestations like the sun, which is separate from its rays and heat. Om jnana timirantasya gananjana sadakaya chakshoda miritandina tasmai shri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa gadamayam dadati svapadantikam. We've been saying in these last two mornings, repeated again, this chapter 6, Purusha Sukta confirmed, is the Bhagavad commentary on the Purusha Sukta, prayers of Rig Veda. Just as the Bhagavatam is a commentary on Gayatri mantra, the Bhagavatam is a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. The Bhagavatam here is commenting on these very elevated Purusha Sukta prayers from Rig Veda. And just like Gayatri mantra, depending upon the mindset, like, you know, depending upon the lenses through which you look at something, it looks different. Some people look at Gayatri mantras, worship of the sun. Some people look at Gayatri mantras, worship of impersonal Brahman. The Bhagavatam explains, no. It's worship of the personality of Godhead, from whom impersonal Brahman emanates, from whom the sun comes, and all of the potencies of both. We rest upon the personality of Godhead. Gayatri mantra is worship of the personality of Godhead. And leave it to Jiva Goswami. He explains it in his Sandarbhas. He drills on this point that some people say this, and then look at the Bhagavatam in the 12th canto. There are explicit verses that the very same words of Brahma Gayatri mantra are found, and it describes this sun as eternal. And he says, hey, the sun may last a long time, but it's not eternal. So it's a different sun it's speaking about. What's this other sun that it's speaking about? It's a transcendental sun. Just like the chapter 15 that we discussed yesterday, this eternal banyan tree. Well, the ones we find in this word, they're not eternal. So what's an eternal banyan tree? It's someplace other than here. It's the spiritual world. So the spiritual world is the original of which this is a reflection. This world is a reflection of the spiritual world. That's how we understand the spiritual world in relation to this world. The biblical saying is similar. Man is created in the image of God, just like, you know, the object in the mirror and the object which it's reflecting. This is philosophy. I hope you don't get bored. The object and reflection of the object are inseparable, but they're different. If you lose the mirror, then you don't have a reflection. You lose the object, you don't have a reflection. So, the previous verse was saying, it's building this commentary on the Purusha Sukta prayers. The reflection, that's this terminology for those that aren't familiar with this section of the Bhagavatam. Ekapad vibhuti means the one quarter portion that refers to the material world. That which is a reflection of the spiritual world is the material world. And the Tripad Vibhuti refers to the spiritual world. Three quarters, one quarter. It's much bigger. Vast spiritual world. Little place over in the corner is a cloud, and that's, but even the cloud resembles the image of the original. The reflection resembles the features of the original. It's only natural. And however distorted it becomes, just like we were covering the first verses of chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita yesterday afternoon, Purushottama Yoga, or Yoga of the Absolute. So in that 15th chapter, Purushottama Yoga, even at the beginning of this purport, Prabhupada is establishing in the previous verse, the one we discussed yesterday morning, there is this source of everything, the spiritual and material, through the agency of the energies. Krishna expands the spiritual world. Krishna expands the material world. He's the point of emanation. and therefore the emanation is not separate from its source of from its source. At the same time, we can make a distinction. The source and the emanation are different. You can't say the emanation is the source. The energy is not the energetic. Or in this verse, Gobihi Surya Ivatapam. The Gobi, this is the rays, Surya, the rays of light and heat of the sun, Ivatapan. They're distinct. The word is Atyagad. Atyagad. Tradavyam. Sorry about this, but Tradavyam. Dravya means, in real simple language, stuff. And the stuff is, has some inventory upstairs there. The Andam, the universes, Virat, the universal form, Bhuta, the ingredients, the elements themselves, Indriyas, the senses, Gunatmakam, and all the stuff that manifests through the modes of material nature. So all of that stuff, Tadravyam, Atyagat, there's this Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purusha, Purushottama, surpasses Atyagat, all this stuff. So he's the source of emanation. This is called Sambandha Gyan. It's the relationship between all things and their source of emanation. So here this verse is saying all the stuff of this one quarter portion comes from the Supreme. That's the first part. The second part is, although all this stuff comes to the Supreme exists separately. Gobi, like the sun, has its own existence as the source of emanation from the rays and heat of the sun. You can say there's the oneness and the difference. The oneness is, where do rays exist without the sun? In maybe you have this problem in this building in Chicago. It's an old building, and we brought in this Bosnian guy, like a repairman, fix-it specialist. Nice, very nice man, very competent. So he told Maharaj Chaitanya, come put your hand on the wall over here. He put his hand on the wall and said, you feel that heat? Said, you got old wiring in this building. And I suggest you fix the old wiring in this building. Put your hand over here. It's nice and cool. Put your hand over here. Feel that heat? So where there's heat, guess what? Let it happen a little bit more and you can have fire. Because it's not just, hey, it's winter. We can just stand next to that place in the wall. And so where there's heat, or where there's light, there's fire. But you know, you don't see fire coming out of the wall, but you can feel the heat. So the energy, this is a fundamental philosophical treatise, part of Lord Chaitanya's essential teachings. Not to get too philosophical this morning, but it's not a Monday morning, it's a Sunday morning, it's okay. Monday mornings are tough for class givers because everyone's had their Sunday program and too much prasad in it. What's the relationship between God and creation? And the answer to that question makes up theology. And so there are different theologies. We discussed it a little bit yesterday, just to repeat it. If you say, well, the creation is part of God, then it makes God responsible for all the bad things. Well, you say, then it's separate from God. Then what exists separate from God? So what do you do with that problem? What's the relationship between stuff, tadravyam, whether it's the universes or the universal form or the elements or the senses or the modes of nature? You know, modes of nature, people get angry. God's responsible. Why didn't he create a situation where people don't get angry? He's perfect and he's all powerful. So why did he make this place where people get angry? Must be no God. I shared this, you know, the immigration officer. Yes, a story yesterday. I don't believe. Why? So many inhuman things. How can there be divine? No. So, you throw out that theology that says it's one. But then you say it's different. Hey, it's romper room over here. We can just do what we like and there's no authority. We're not accountable to anybody. We're independent. Well, are we independent? So according to the Bhagavatam teaching, one of the Chatur Sloki verses of the Bhagavatam says explicitly, one who sees that which exists independently and having value independently from the Supreme, know that to be my illusory energy. That's the illusory energy. Existing independently from and having value separate from the source of emanation. It's like its own little God over there. And I, you know, that's I share in that vision. That's me. I exist independently and have value independently from God, the source of emanation. It's like, you know, an independent person or an independent child or, you know, what is that? We're dependent. Someone that moves around St. Louis who thinks, you know, the heck with the laws of the government. What government? I make my own laws. So, that's not reality. Neither are reality. This absolute monism, Kevala Advaita, or the absolute distinction. Although distinctions are nicer than absolute monism, because we do have an existence. The living entities do exist as a tiny part of the Supreme, and their existences are distinct, but they're not separate. So this, what Prabhupada weaves the purport is this simultaneous one indifference. Now going back to the previous verse was establishing that this Lord, the controller, the ashraya, the shelter of both the material and spiritual realm is the same entity, the same person. The shelter of both. And he permeates both by his potencies. So now, this is taking it the other way. That's the oneness part. This is the difference part. Put them together. Although, yasmat, that's a pronoun, that purusha, that purusha, supreme purusha, purushottama, is the emanating source of these things. Universal globes. So it's Mahavishnu. He expands the universes from the pores of his body. And he manifests this universal form, the Virat. And he manifests the elements. And he manifests the senses. And he manifests the modes of nature. All those things rest in him. And while they rest in him, Tadravyam, he is transcendental to all those things. He has his own existence. Even Mahavishnu, he's lying on the causal ocean being served by Ramadevi. He's not running around with senses and modes of nature, and he's in his spiritual position, untouched by the actions of all that stuff that emanate from him. So it's like the sun is unchanged, unmoved by the actions of the heat and light that emanate from him, although it's only his energy, the sun's energy. But he has his own existence. So Prabhupada normally describes that as Krishna. Krishna exists in the spiritual world with his, it's very specific, two hands and flute. And he's tooting on his flute. He's playing with the cowherd boys. He's jumping off of mountains with Balaram. He's enjoying pastimes. While from him, all of his energies are arranging for the whole spiritual and material world. It's all resting upon him. He has his own existence. He's not bothered by the misuse of free will programs that people are indulging in all over the place, and the actions and reactions of all of that. Prabhupada gives this simple example. He said there's a big industrialist, and he's out in the golf course putting around in the putting green. But back in the factory, there's hundreds or thousands of workers, all of whom are engaged simply according to his indication and not otherwise. And if it's otherwise, they're removed, they're fired. But what's his business? He's putting around the putting green. He's not involved in all of that. So Prabhupada's point is, if that we can understand that on this material plane, then what to speak of the spiritual plane? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he has nothing to do. But what he does is not because he has to do, he does because it's his pleasure. So he engages in pleasure pastimes. And because of his compassion for the living entities, he arranges through the agency of his potencies for all this tadravyam, all this stuff, to become manifest. And that's both in the ekapad vibhuti and the tripad vibhuti. It's all resting on his energies. He supports all of this with a verse from Brahma Samhita. Ananda chinmaya rasa prati bhavi tabis tabirya eva nija rupataya kalabihi. So kala, nija rupa taya kalabihi. Through his kala, this phrase means his expansion, the portion of his plenary portion. That's the dictionary type of language that Bhaktisiddhanta used, which Prabhupada followed. So Krishna expands as Balaram. That's a plenary expansion. And for the purpose of material creation, the expansions of the Purusha avatars are called kala. They're a portion of the plenary portion. So we say, you know, Krishna's super soul, Krishna's within the heart. More technically, kala, portion of a plenary portion, because Lord Vishnu doesn't do all of what Krishna does in the spiritual world. He does that which is in relation to material creation. He carries out specific functions, although he's in a category of Vishnu Tattva. A little technical, but anyway. Kala. So, what the Brahma Samhita verse is saying is, Krishna, Govinda, he exists in the spiritual world, but for the purpose of creation, he expands a portion of his plenary portion, so that in every nook and corner, here's the translation, he is present in every nook and corner of his creation by expansion of his happy spiritual rays equal in power to his personal potency of bliss. So he expands his personal form as the Purusha avatars and his potencies, just like the verse. Gabir Surya Ivatapan. He expands his energies, his rays of heat and light like the sun. So Krishna expands his various potencies and is present everywhere through his various potencies. So just like the beginning verses of the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says the same thing, I exist everywhere and yet I don't exist everywhere. I have my own abode. Behold my mystic opulence. So how is Krishna present everywhere? He's present everywhere in a lot of ways. One of those ways, specific to this context, he's present everywhere through his potencies. Like the sun pervades the whole universe by its light and heat. Although it's in one place. So the sun isn't all over the universe, but its heat and light is all over the place. So Krishna makes his presence through his energies, and those energies are inseparable from him, and so there's oneness of all things with the Supreme. And there's a difference of all things with the Supreme, because he's the source, and he's personal, specifically two hands and a flute, and various pastimes, and it's real. So then his comment is, the impersonalists, they cannot comprehend this. They cannot comprehend it because they don't want to comprehend it. They have a predisposition to not comprehend it. And the as much as they can handle is the universal form. But the universal form, it's another romper room. It's just speculation. I shared this with Bhima. When I was, the first time I took Panchakarma, I stayed at that house in, I forget where, the part of, where that man that was part of Bhishma with the glasses and the older disciple of Radhanath Maharaj, I forget his name, Balava, something. You know. Anyway, he took me, his wife, he's deceased now, right? You know who I'm speaking about?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
He should come every day to Bhagavatam.
Yes, exactly. So, his wife wasn't chanting. His wife was seeing some kind of yoga guy, yoga teacher. And she really wanted me to go see their yoga teacher because it was, you know, it would help my health. I didn't want to go to the other side of Bombay to go see yoga teacher, you know. But she really wanted me to go, and so at the end of the month I went. So long, you know, torturous drive on the other side of Bombay. And we got to this place where it was quiet, it was more remote, it wasn't like urbanized so much. And two big banyan trees. It was really like, ooh, just the scene, the atmosphere was impressive. And over to the side was this little raised platform, earthen platform, and the yoga instructor with all of his students around in a corner, and then they had these testimonials. The guy stood up and said, I was to have heart surgery. All the doctors I went said that you have to have heart surgery, but this yogi, he said, no, I'll cure you, and no heart surgery. Then another one, you know, back problem, and another one, this problem, that problem. And so, you know, yoga kija, you can get healthy too. And they had over on the side a little chair, little old kind of frumpy wooden chair. And leaned up the back of the chair was a picture of the universal form. So after giving me a tour of, you know, the sales pitch of how the yoga can make anybody's health good if you just follow this yogi, the assistant to the instructor pulled me over to the side and said, it was like, psst, come here. See that picture over there? We teach all of our students to offer their prayers to that picture, the universal form, but the real story is behind the universal form, behind this form of Vishvarupa, it's all one. know, you're a Swamiji. I just want to let you in on like an inside secret. We don't tell them, but I'm telling you. I decided to not make a scene. You know, I thought of several things to say to the man, but I decided not to do it. Because look at that universal form, and you know, eyes and hands everywhere and faces everywhere. Where does any of that exist? It doesn't exist. So what the real thing is behind it is it's all one. So, you know, they look at this Andam and Virat and Bhuta and Indriya and Gunatma come and say behind that is the impersonal Brahman. But Purushottama Yoga or Purusha Sukta is saying it's person. Yasmat. That Purusha, it's very specific. That Purusha, the previous verse again, is permeating both the spiritual, note, the spiritual realm and the material realm, permeating it all. Is this, and by the way, Purusha means person. It means enjoyer. Hey, that's, you know, there's the enjoyer, the enjoyed, and the experience of enjoyment. It's the three. It's not one. Now it's specific. Tradavyam. Atyagad, it's transcendental to the dravyam. It's another existence. It's like kshetra and kshetra gya. That was yesterday's verse. The field of activity and the knower of the field of activity, and they're distinct. And then there's kshetra gyam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata, referred to in yesterday's report. There's a knower of all fields of activities, and that's not me. And nor will it possibly become me, because God doesn't become God, nor can I even conceive of becoming conscious of all things simultaneously. It's like circuit overload. Burn your fuse. It's not possible. Our capacity is small, and not just more amperage, and it's okay. We can do it. We're the part of the Supreme Whole. Prabhupada is, so the conclusion, therefore, the absolute, this Purusha, is simultaneously personal and impersonal, which, so this Canto 2 verse is explaining the Canto 1 verse, where the absolute truth, Vedanta Tat Tattva Vidas Tattvam Yajjnanam Advayam, the Advayam, the non-dual substance known properly by the learned Vedantists, has different divisions. Brahman and Paramatma and Bhagavan. And this second canto is covering all three. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So here's two of them, Brahman and Bhagavan. The absolute truth is both. And you can argue, no, only one. Well, sorry, but the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam is both. And the Bhagavatam is explaining the Rig Veda mantras, where it's both. You've got your opinion, and Rig Veda and Bhagavatam has its opinion, and I'll say that side. Last, just 2 minute thing. The purport of this Ananda Chinmaya Rasapati Bhavitabhi is the verse that's quoted in the purport from Brahma Samhita. It has the longest purport in the entire Brahma Samhita. And it's not even about what we just discussed. It's about another very, very wonderful subject, and that is, in Jiva Goswami's words, Abhrama Vilas, the apparent mistakes of the transcendental world, like the birth of the Lord, like Qui Kunti marvels, although you are unborn, you take birth. That's a contradiction. One or the other, but how can be both? So the bewildering feature of the Lord's Leela of the spiritual world, and even in particular when they manifest in this world, like, you know, things that people that don't know anything about spiritual life hear about Krishna's having 16,000 wives and think, my God, what's wrong with this man? Or in the dead of night, of course, in a Western culture, this doesn't mean anything, but in Vedic culture, it means something. The wives leave their husbands to go enjoy with Krishna in the dead of night, and he's calling them by playing upon his flute. Oh, how awful. So the Vibhrama Vilas Leela of the Supreme Lord is explained very, 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 very intricately by Bhaktisiddhanta with reference to Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And if you want your head to spin, read that nice long purport. But it's, you know, the appearance of things, just like here, the appearance that everything comes from the Lord's, so he's tied to it. But no, he's independent from it, but he's not absolutely independent from it, in the sense that it's all coming from him. So achintya, inconceivable, difference and non-difference simultaneously. It's a very deep subject, and this other is a more deep subject. The apparent contradictions or bewildering feature of the Lord's pastimes. So, nice philosophy. Very deep. Very, very deep. Any discussion? Yeah.
Raj, it says that the form and the name of Krishna is not different than Krishna. Then why is the Vishwarupa different or secondary from the form of Krishna?
This is another very deep subject, but to keep it really simple, in the sense that it is temporary, it's different. The form of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan is not temporary. The form of Krishna, what this 537 purport in Brahma Samhita discusses, is the form of Krishna is sometimes manifest for our worldly vision and sometimes not manifest for our worldly vision, but that doesn't mean his form is temporary. His form is eternal. Sometimes, by his mercy, he makes that spiritual form visible to ordinary people. Like, no qualification needed, step right up, see the form of Krishna. Just have to be around when Krishna makes his appearance. And, you know, but better watch out, because if you make some offense, you're in trouble. But still, you can see that form of Krishna. Virat Rupa is different, not eternal form. And so language is used, you'll find in the beginning part of the second canto. The whole first chapter of the second canto is about the universal form and how it is temporary and therefore illusory, but a form of the Lord. We don't use that kind of language at all about Krishna's form. It's a deep subject. That's just like, you know, touching the surface of this deep subject. You want to go further with it. You want to go further with it. It's okay.
In the chapter 9, it says that...
Chapter 9 of which? Bhagavad Gita?
Okay. It says that everything pervades in Krishna. Krishna says that everything pervades in him. And
Krishna pervades everything through his potencies.
Everything rests in him. So the Vishwarupa, the Virakrupa shows what all rests in him. Then why is it again a temporary?
Well, just like Mother Jasoda is seeing the form of the universe within Krishna. Mm-hmm. It's one of his potencies. Because within Krishna is all spiritual. But she's seeing the universal, the form of the universe. I mean, Arjuna saw the form of the universe standing on the battlefield. Mother Jasoda saw inside Krishna's mouth. So it's one of his potencies, his material the potencies are eternal, the form of those potencies is temporary. So just like Arjuna didn't see the universal form, he requested to see the universal form, please give me the eyes to see, Krishna gave him the eyes to see, there was the universal form, oh my God, please take that form away, Krishna removed that form. Temporary. And the whole of creation comes to being, rest for some time, and is withdrawn. That's fundamentally, like, on a platform different than Krishna making his appearance, staying for some time, and then he leaves. Because the form of Krishna is eternal, Vishrupa is not. And so Krishna has different energies. And we make distinctions of those different energies. And thus we make a distinction about Vishwarupa.
Maharaj, we hear that Krishna is anxious for us to return back to him. And we have one of our contests, I've been waiting for you for so long. And we also hear that Krishna is not affected by our misuse of free will.
He's not affected by?
Our misuse of free will from having chosen to come here. So I'm trying to understand, because I think...
It's love. Try to understand love. Put it under your yardsticks and see how it measures. There is a love where there's also detachment in that love. It's not that detachment in love means I don't care. But Krishna is forever inviting the fallen conditioned souls to come and enjoy with him in a mood of service and happiness and bliss. And he's anxious for them to return. At the same time, he doesn't interfere with their free will. It's not like, you know, Krishna has sleepless nights in Goloka Vrindavan because the living entities have left him. But he's at the same time loving those conditioned souls and wanting them to return. And makes arrangements. And we still say no. Or say, I'll think about it. Or maybe later. But Krishna doesn't interfere. So, Joe?
All Indriyas and Gunas, it is from Mahavishnu and the matter is from him. So his senses and Guna, like a prana and anger and all those also rest on him?
Yeah. In 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, texts 6 and 7, it describes that the combination, the word is used, or the mixture, vikarams, mixing of the elements make pride, anger, lust, the emotions of the conditioned self. Those emotions are different states of combination of the elements and the modes and the building blocks of creation. And as they mix, so we feel. Sad, happy, anger, greed, lust, bewilderment, illusion, etc. It's all part of kshetra. It's all part of the field of activities. It's not us. That's the main message. All that stuff, it's not us. But when we abandon who we are, we think that's us. We don't even pause to think. It's just, it's us. Feeling angry, feeling lusty, feeling greedy, and being driven by that. It's not us. So this detachment, we heard this yesterday, chapter 15, this important function of detachment, cut this attachment with the weapon of knowledge. So it at least helps. Knowledge helps. Even one can know, hey, I'm not this body, I'm not these emotions, but then when the emotions come on, it takes over. We feel sad. We feel happy. We feel lonely. We feel sorrow. We feel so many things. It's kshetra. It's not us. And so what we need to do is turn our attention to purushottama. And then that greatly facilitates the detachment, because we can develop another attachment, the attachment to the eternal. And then those emotions are real. That's really us. And it's not in the realm of kshetra, it's the realm of the internal potency of the Lord. That's nice, isn't it? Just have to turn our attention to Krishna. Slowly, slowly, ever so slowly. Yeah.
Since everything is a reflection of spiritual world, is this also like this sentence what we talk about? Has a reflection, or is not a reflection? Just resides in the same way.
Your daughter was fumbling with her pages, so I couldn't hear all of what you said. So this is a reflection, yes. And so you asked a detailed thing.
All the three, everything is a reflection of spiritual
life. Yeah, that's the part I got.
Is this all the gunas, karmas, what now we talked, is also a reflection from spiritual world?
Yes.
Or it's, since all this bad qualities just resides, like when we come here,
you heard the children giving their explanation yesterday in that little, the little clip. So there's the reflecting surface called the mind, and then there's the object, the spiritual world. And what I see in my mind is the reflection. And then when the mind is disturbed, just like when the water surface is disturbed because of wind or motion of the water, then the reflection is disturbed. So even it's like double trouble, because we're not seeing even the reflection of the real thing, we're seeing the distorted reflection of the real thing. And we're taking the distorted reflection of the real thing to be the real thing. And that's the reality that we're working with in conditioned life. So yes, it's a reflection. But it's a distorted reflection. And all the stuff. And it's all operating according to the laws of nature, which are overseen by Purusha, who is a Kala of Krishna. A portion of a plenary portion of Krishna. He's just overseeing. Upadrashta, he oversees, and he permits. But he also sometimes doesn't permit. Not just because we stamp our little foot, we get whatever distorted picture we want. So, the more we have, the more we hear a Krishna book, the more we have a picture of real reality, not a reflection, but the real reality, not distorted by mundane minds, but the pure spiritual world. It's attractive. It's meant to attract our hearts and minds and purify, just as this Chaita Dharpana Marjana Shikshastakam. So the simplest form is chanting. In fact, it's the recommended form of cleansing the mirror of the mind. Unfortunately, we don't have attraction. So that was our discussion yesterday evening. What to do about that problem? The potency is there. The whole of the spiritual world, all of Krishna's potencies, everything, is there just in His name. We have no attraction. Dur daivam hitrisha mahajani nado raga. So that feeling of unhappiness, that's a transcendental emotion. And then to take that transcendental emotion to another step is what we went through yesterday evening. Don't just sit and feel sad that you don't have attraction. Cultivate the qualities that help one to have attraction. Other questions? Well, Gopal.
In Prabhupada Purport, you read that the Lord is not interested in this Kripa Vibhuti, the material world.
Ekapandi Bhuti.
Well,
it doesn't exactly say not at all interested. He says, what it says is, he's not as attracted as he is to the other. The Ekapad Vibhuti manifestation of the material energy of the Lord is just like one of the many mistresses of the Lord by whom the Lord is not so much attracted. Okay, so go ahead.
So, but the action of the Lord seems to be, He's carrying so much, He's sending His representative, He's given us the scriptures, He's given us His lot of avatar, Lila avatar happened in this material world,
yeah.
And the deity worship has been offered to us. Seems to be so much caring for us,
yeah.
A lot of interest on us so that we can come back to Him.
Oh, it's not hard to understand. Put all those things and so many more things and imagine what the Tripad Vibhuti is like. Mm. Or, here's one example. Prabhupada liked to explain why Krishna says Arjuna declared boldly Kaunteya pratijani name bhakta pranashati, declare it boldly, my devotee is never vanquished. So why does Krishna have Arjuna? He could say it himself, my devotee is never vanquished. But if his devotee says, for sure he'll uphold it. He gives the example of Bhishma Dev took the vow that either Krishna will break his promise or uphold my promise. That I will destroy Arjuna unless Krishna breaks his promise. So to uphold the promise of Bhishma Dev, Krishna broke his promise. So people know Krishna can break his promise, but he'll always uphold the promise of his devotee. Or when Krishna was bound by Mother Jasoda with the Damodar Leela, then he began to consider, okay, Narada made this promise that these two trees over there, they'll be liberated by me. Now's a good time to do it. I can just pull this mortar through the two trees and knock them over and they're liberated. So I want to uphold the word of my devotee. To Krishna, the reciprocation of love that he has with his devotee is tripad compared to ekapad. So how much Krishna cares? Imagine what the spiritual world. The statement is, he's not so much attracted, but what we find in the Sri Brahma Samhita is Mahavishnu is reclining on Anantashesh in the milk ocean, and Rama Devi is serving him at his lotus feet, and he looks, and at a distance he sees the reflection, Chaya Devi, the reflection of Rama Devi, having nothing to do. So he feels she wants something to do. Let me give her something to do. So he gives her something to do. By his glance, he sends through his glance to all the living entities in the time energy, and then she has so much to do. Keeping the living entities very busy in illusory activity. So she has something to do. And but he's more interested in Rama Devi than Chaya Devi. The internal potency. Srimati Radharani and all the expansions of Srimati Radharani in the spiritual world are of much greater interest to him. Although he shows interest in this portion also, as you pointed out. So it's not, he doesn't care. Let them rot. I'm busy over here, having fun. It's not like that.
You learned in the second canto, first chapter, there's all this description about the Rajrupa, the rivers of his veins, and his eyebrow. Is that just, that's not an analogy. It's just not...
It's the universal form, which is temporary. Ask your partner over here. See? Temporary. It's the universal form of alert.
Maharaj, as just contemplating when you were responding to Sri Radhika about Krishna as an angel being loving and detached, when
we're serving him, we also have to be loving and detached.
Yeah, and what are some symptoms that will quickly indicate to us that we're being attached in a particular circumstance?
Anger, lust, greed, illusion, bewilderment. Forgetting Krishna, me, 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 those are all symptoms. Okay, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.